more on car insurance.
The views of this program are not necessarily the views of KJLL Radio, its management, or its sponsors. The host is solely responsible for its content. Enjoy.
Hey, Arizona, Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell, on AM 1330, The Jolt.
Welcome to On the Menu Live, dishing out the latest buzz on the local restaurant and entertainment scene. And now, to help you get ready for the weekend in style, here's your host, Matt Russell.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Jim Cedar from the Wine and Choir, sitting in for Matt Russell this afternoon, who has taken some well-deserved time off with his family to vacation for a little bit. I'm editor and publisher of the Wine and Choir, and you can learn more about our web publication by going to wineandchoir.com. Wherever you are, thank you for taking some time out of your day today to join us for this afternoon's show. And we have a real foodies just love affair going on this afternoon, because we're going to be talking about chocolate and cheese, my two favorite food groups. The only thing that's missing is a little bit of wine, and maybe somebody will be nice enough to donate a little bit of that for us. Joining us this afternoon from what usually is a cold Burlington, Vermont, is Allison Myers, who's director of sales at Lake Champlain Chocolates. But Allison, I've been kind of keeping tabs on the weather this winter because I used to live in New England, and your winter hasn't been so bad, has it?
Hasn't been until today. Today we experienced temperatures in the teens all day long, so it has arrived in time for New Year's.
Okay, well, it's a little bit later than normal because sometimes you can be literally buried with snow and very cold temperatures up there.
Yeah, in fact, yesterday we had a foot of snow just probably 15 miles from Burlington, but we still have brown grass here in Burlington.
All right, well, you know, that's destined to change because up in that country it always does. Listen, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. We've ordered from Lake Champlain Chocolates a number of times. I just can't rave enough about how great your products are. Your website was tremendous, which is lakechamplainchocolate.com. You have everything going for you, whether it be truffles, bars, gift baskets. It's just an incredible assortment of goods. But let me back up for a minute and ask you how you stumbled into this position of director of sales. I understand you've been with the company for about maybe 17 or 18 years. Was this something that you dreamt about as a child or just happened to stumble into the greatest job on earth?
I'd say I probably stumbled into the greatest job on earth. I graduated from college in the midst of a recession and jobs were a bit scarce. And I heard about a customer service position with Lake Champlain Chocolates and thought, well, this seems like something fun to do for a little while until I figure out what I really want to do. and what do you know? It was a great small and growing company, entrepreneurial, you know, spirit with a lot of opportunities, and I'm still here. Well, more than a decade later.
You clearly have a job to die for, so I'm sure if you were ever to leave your position, there'd probably be 100,000 people applying for your position, including myself. I mean, what a really tough job. Smelling chocolate, tasting chocolate day after day, I would never get tired of it.
Yeah, one of the most challenging assignments is every Tuesday morning at 8:30, I actually have to eat chocolate. It's a requirement, part of our sensory panel.
Well, listen, if you ever need some help and need an assistant, please give me a call. I'll be on the plane the next hour.
Okay.
Listen, tell me a bit about how the company has grown and been growing over the last several years.
Well, we always, since Jim Lampman founded the company back in 83, he always had a vision not to just be a local mom and pop brand, but to have wider distribution and really... In the early 80s, there weren't a lot of specialty chocolate companies. It was really dominated by one key player, probably people know, called Godiva.
Sure.
And he felt that, you know, we could make chocolates that would rival those of the Belgians. And sure enough, he found there was a market for that and proved that we could make chocolates better than the Belgians. And certainly today, you know, there's hundreds, if not a thousand, competitors also trying to do the same thing, as Americans have figured out that American chocolate can be better than European chocolate.
Yeah, well, over the last couple of years, we visited France and both Italy for the Wine Enquirer and tasted chocolates there. And I can tell you that some of your lines of chocolates are every bit as good and every bit as excellent, tasty, creamy. You can go on and on with descriptive adjectives as those abroad. They are just tremendous. And I think that has to say something about the dedication of the staff that both work under you and work with Jim.
It does. We're very fortunate. We have a lot of longtime employees who have been with us, you know, as long as I've been with the company or longer. And it's really a great testament to their work that helps ensure the consistency and quality and great flavors and product that we put out day after day.
Now, tell me a bit about the products that you offer, because I could get lost and hypnotized in your website.
Well, it all began with a single truffle back in 83. Jim owned a restaurant and began serving those truffles as a dessert for Sunday brunch. So that was what we first were known for. And the truffle really celebrates the great local dairy ingredients we have in Vermont, the butter and the cream. So those have been a mainstay of the line since the early 80s and remain a top seller.
So you're using homegrown ingredients there.
Absolutely. We buy local as much as possible, from the dairy ingredients to the local honey, local maple syrup, and even a lot of our packaging materials. For example, our candy bar wrappers are printed right across the street from our factory at a local printer press. So we really believe in buying as close to home as possible.
And go ahead with some of the other items that you have there, because I know you have bars, you have gift baskets, you even have hot chocolate.
We do have a hot chocolate mix. It's very popular at this time of year, and that's a mix that you mix with milk. It's not a water-based, so it's just, you know, the pure essence of cocoa, sugar, and then added flavors. One of our more intriguing ones is what we call the Spicy Aztec that's got cayenne pepper and cinnamon. That's a nice warming hot chocolate. Candy bars were something, you know, we all grow up with candy and probably our first taste of chocolate is the Hershey bar, but as you get more sophisticated with your taste, there is a desire to have a more gourmet chocolate bar. So the five-star bars were our answer to chocolate bars in the late 1980s when we launched those. So those are very popular. We also have a signature line called our Chocolates of Vermont. And those are the pieces that celebrate and use the local Vermont honey and the Vermont maple syrup that our state is so famous for. And that's a butter toffee that we infuse with the maple syrup.
You know, it sounds like a palate coating experience. It's just phenomenal to think about these different items. I take it that you ship all over the country, all over the world, for people that wish to order through the site?
Primarily just domestically. We find that exporting runs into some logistical challenges as far as perishability and ensuring safe arrival. So right now we stick to the 50 U.S. states.
Okay. And they can do that through going on to LakeChamplainChocolates.com?
They can. Also in the local Arizona market, you can find our products at Whole Foods and also AJ's. As well as the New Frontiers Natural Food Market.
Well, it's really convenient because the first two are literally a stone's throw from my home. So
okay.
that makes it certainly makes it quite easy. One last thing, I have out in front of us a number of your chocolates to taste, and on the other side of our local break, I want to get into this with you. But we have a couple of your truffles to try. We have a couple of your small chocolate squares to enjoy, and also a sea salt caramel that just sounds amazing. So when we get back here shortly, why don't you prepare yourself, Allison, and we'll talk about some wine, we'll talk about some cheese, and see if we can get people's palates going in terms of these pairings.
Wonderful.
Okay, we'll see you on the other side of the break. Yvonne, good afternoon. How are you? And considering that we just got off the line with Lake Champlain Chocolates and are about to launch into wine and food pairing, what better person to speak to locally than yourself and see if you may have some ideas about wines to pair with chocolate?
Wines to pair with chocolate.
Isn't that a tough one?
What always comes to mind, first of all, is sparklies, but I don't know that I always agree with that. If you have a fruitier sparkly, yes, maybe. And depending on the type of chocolate, it goes with different different types of sparklies, but Cabernets and Zinfandels go wonderful with chocolate, especially darker chocolates. If you're talking about, say, more of a regular chocolate or not a dark chocolate, Merlots go with that. So Pinot Noirs go with, what am I thinking? Why am I not thinking of the lightest chocolate of them all?
The milk chocolate?
Yes, the milk chocolate. Yeah. You know, you take a lighter wine and you pair it with, the milk chocolate goes with the lighter wines, Pinots, Merlots, the bigger, more dense chocolates, 70% and 80% if you get it that high. Dark chocolates start going beautiful with Cabs and Syrahs and Zinfandels.
And what a great time of year in the middle of the winter to go after some of those really deep, rich chocolates and go with a deep, deep, rich wine. So
exactly. They both warm you up.
Yeah.
They're both perfect for the fireplace.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Excellent.
So meanwhile, why don't you tell us about your wine of the week and what you're focusing on this week?
Well, obviously, with New Year's right around the corner, what we have is we have a sparkling wine that we're featuring this week. And it's a beautiful Cava Brut Rosé out of Argentina, Mendoza area.
Oh, that's interesting.
And it's 100% Pinot Noir. It's got a real pretty pink color to it, a real nice pink color. It's got fruit aromas. There's lots of strawberries and cherries and red fruits in this wine, in this rosé. There's a bit of anise. It has a very long, creamy finish. So it's just a real beautiful rosé. And I chose a rosé because I like to add a little color to my life right about now. Maybe that's because I'm from Michigan and we were always used to like snowy Christmases. And so
really, and long dark days.
Right. So, you know, I chose for today this Brut Rosé, which is in my opinion just very nice and very lovely. And one of the things that it does is it goes right down the middle. You know, you get a lot of different palates when you're dealing with sparkling wines, and some people like them fruity and some people like them extra dry. And this wine is perfect if you're taking it to a party because it'll be enjoyed by both sides. There's something in it that each of them will like. So I wanted something a little more versatile.
Well, it's certainly festive. It's certainly affordable. What's the pricing on this?
Well, this one's at the top of my list, top of my range here. And we're talking, this is a $14.99 wine here in the shop.
Okay.
So well worth every penny.
Now, is this something that people can use to toast in, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, 2012?
Yes, well, exactly. And that's part of the reason that this is in the lineup. I think it'd be a wonderful toasting wine. It has enough flavor. That's why I say it crosses all of the palates. There's plenty of flavor there for people who like things a little more fruity. It's very dry. It ends with a very nice dry finish. So and it's not tart in any way. So it has the loveliness of the minerality. Because it's from Argentina, it does continue to have some of that minerality and chalkiness that you expect out of a French as opposed to a domestic sparkling wine.
Well, this sounds like a great way to celebrate the beginning of 2012. Yvonne Fouché from Catavinos here in Tucson, thank you so much for volunteering this wonderful, special, celebratory wine of the week. And I'm sure I can speak for Matt Russell soundly here, if I can get my tongue out of the way, and wish you a very happy, healthy, festive new year. And I'm sure we'll all greet you happily in 2012.
Wonderful. I look forward to that. And this weekend, we're doing a sparkling tasting. So all weekend long, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we have all sparkly. So if you want to come down and you want to try a few and see exactly which one you would like to take to your party or take home with you as you're waiting to usher in the new year, you're welcome to do that. Otherwise, I can give you a great recommendation.
That sounds great. Yvonne, be well and be safe.
Thank you.
Yvonne Fouché, everybody from Catavino.
Discover a warm, intimate, and inviting hideaway in Midtown Tucson where you can meet people and explore new wines.
At Catavino's Wine Shop and Tasting Room, located on Alvernon Way, just south of Fort Lowell, we offer more than 350 premium wines from all over the world, all priced under $15 a bottle. Each week, our wine tastings will give you the opportunity to sample a flight of wines alongside some delicious artisan cheeses. And our tasting room is the ideal venue for your next private party or special event. We also stock the latest wine accessories for making the most out of your wine experience. Finding a great bottle of wine for $30 is easy, but discovering a wonderful wine for less than $15 is an art. Let us do the work for you. Catavino's Wine Shop and Tasting Room on Alvernon, just south of Fort Lowell. Come see us today or give us a call at 323-3063. That's 323-3063.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to On the Menu Live. I'm Jim Cedar from the Wine Enquirer. You can hit our site by going to www.wineenquirer.com and reading all about different wine and food pairings, different videos with vintners. Great site, if I say so myself. A little shameless applaud there. But meanwhile, we're back here with one of my most fun times of the afternoon here on this segment, and that is Allison Myers, Director of Sales at Lake Champlain Chocolate in Burlington, Vermont, is going to take us through some chocolate tasting. And this should be just absolutely astoundingly fabulous. I've tasted these before. Allison, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay. Listen, I have in front of me first, I have two truffles here, and I want you to take me through it. The first one is the dark chocolate truffle. So why don't you tell me a little bit about that as I'm stuffing my mouth literally here and coating my palate, and talk to us about what you would like to pair with it in terms of a wine. Again, this is the dark chocolate truffle.
Well, I find truffles are quite versatile of all the chocolates that we offer. They could work well with a sparkling wine, although my preference is generally to do them probably with a red wine. The legendary dark truffle is the one in particular that you have. That's made with a 54% cocoa content dark chocolate, the blend of our Vermont local butter, and our sweet cream. So just really three simple ingredients delivers a great, strong chocolate flavor. We call it a baked brownie note, which is, if you think about eating the edges of a brownie, those highly cooked chocolate notes.
Nice, crispy, well-done edges.
Exactly.
That's exactly what this tastes like.
Yes, and you get just a little bit of bitter, but a fair amount of fruity in our dark chocolate. And then, of course, the dairy provides some nice lactic sour notes. So, you know, again, I would prefer that with a Tempranillo, perhaps, or a Cabernet with a little bit of age on it. Those would be my picks.
Well, you know, as I'm sitting here finishing this last little bite, I'm thinking to myself, if there's a way to keep you talking for about the next 10 or 15 minutes while I just eat. But but that's not really what I'm here for. But it's awfully tempting, I have to tell you. Just absolutely fine. We've ordered this before from you along with a number of others, and I can tell people that this is just the most outstanding chocolate that you could ever imagine. The follow-up to that is the champagne chocolate, which I find very intriguing and likewise equally delicious. Why don't you take us through the champagne chocolate?
That's also a dark chocolate truffle made with our 54% cocoa, which is a sweeter dark chocolate. We do offer 70% dark chocolate truffle, so that has a little bit bigger, more intense chocolate flavor. But as a general rule, you want to pair the darker chocolates with a more bold wine. So the champagne, again, is on the sweeter side. And I often tell people the beauty of our champagne truffle is it already has the wine in it for you. You don't even need a glass of wine to go with it.
Well, I was going
to
say, it almost has this little hint of fruit in there. It's just kind of under the surface. It truly is distinctly different from the legendary dark chocolate.
Yes, it is.
Now, so you actually add a little bit of wine to the contents?
It does have champagne in it. We call the center a ganache. So when we blend the cream and the butter, we infuse in the champagne, and then deposit that ganache center, and then enrobe it, which means to cover it with just a very thin layer of chocolate couverture.
Well, how
when
wonderful.
You bite into it, it has a really nice tooth, we call it.
You know, this is wonderful because you can celebrate with a champagne or a sparkling wine for New Year's Eve and have champagne chocolate, and you get champagne two ways.
Exactly.
You know, so it's and you can really taste that underneath. It's just it's delicious. It's very very creamy, and the palate just loves it. So just a great choice here. I want to move on to one that really intrigues me. And actually, if we have some of your I think it's a dark spicy Aztec hot chocolate that you produce. I have here in front of me a dark spicy Aztec square. Why don't you take us through that? Because I love the hot chocolate.
Yes, we find, the spiciness and the intensity with the sweetness of the chocolate just play off one another really, really well. And again, it needs a more intense wine to stand up to that spice. I really love that one with the Zinfandel. I've been drinking a lot of 2005 Turley. Well, not a lot, but for holiday week, that was our special wine that we celebrated with, and that would pair really nicely with that spicy Aztec square.
And great producer, too.
Yeah. What's intriguing about this chocolate as well is that it has the inclusion of pumpkin seeds, so it has a little bit of nutty characteristic along with the cinnamon and the cayenne pepper that give it the spice.
Well, it really distinctly has a kick, but the fun part about it is that you don't find the kick at the beginning. You sort of have
right. It's in the finish. It's a creeping heat, as I call it. It comes in the aftertaste.
You know, this reminds me of a restaurateur out here in Tucson who produces a special type of an ice cream parfait dessert that has kind of a spicy. A chocolate, almost a cayenne ice cream. And the wonderful thing about it is as with this chocolate, you take a spoonful, it's wonderful, it's delicious, it's creamy, you feel the heat, you have to go back for another spoonful. You enjoy
right.
it, you know, you feel the heat, and all of a sudden you look down and realize you're on your last spoonful.
And the dairy probably provides that nice balance.
Absolutely.
Which a nice wine can balance the heat with
right.
the sweet.
Absolutely, but I love this. I really love the complexity in this spicy Aztec chocolate where it starts off very benign with dark chocolate, and all of a sudden that spiciness creeps up on you.
A lot of people love a port with this piece, too. I'm not a port fan myself, but I'm told if you love a port, it's a good pairing.
Yeah, I know, and I could imagine it would be a very good pairing as well. The last one we have here, and this one really intrigues me, is your the sea salt caramel square that I have here in front of me, that just looks like it's to die for in terms of the pairing. Why don't you talk to me a little bit about this?
Well, this is a milk chocolate compared to the other three I've had is dark chocolate. So inherent in the milk chocolate, you're going to get a lot of caramelized sugar and cooked milk notes in the chocolate. And then we blend in the sea salt along with roasted almonds. So it's quite a complex piece with a lot of character going on. I feel this really benefits from a lighter wine. Perhaps a Pinot Noir would be good with this one. Again, something to really balance that sweetness of the chocolate.
This is just lovely. You know, when I first looked at this, I was wondering if the caramel was going to be a very chewy, hard caramel, which you find in some candies. This is just kind of classic, beautiful, creamy caramel. It's soft. The palate loves it. I would love a whole case of this in front of me right now.
They are very popular right now. We have a hard time keeping them in stock.
I'll bet you do. I'll bet you do. Well, Allison Myers, listen, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon from what is increasingly becoming a cold Burlington, Vermont. Lovely country, absolutely great operation that Jim has up there. Please send him my regards. And for listeners, the site is lakechamplainchocolate.com. Visit their site. Absolutely outstanding in what they have to offer in a whole variety of different elements. And Allison, I wish you very happy and safe New Year and a great entry into 2012. You be safe.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you so much. We'll be back on the other side of the hour here with Gina Fries from Venissimo Cheese. Stay with us.
CNN Radio, I'm Edgar Tragetz. If you're seeing higher prices at the pump, it's probably tied to Iran. The country is still threatening to block oil shipments from the Persian Gulf in the face of Western sanctions. Tufts University international politics professor Vali Nasser says he's afraid of what could happen next.
That would essentially put the United States in a position of having to resort to some form of a military action to break an Iranian blockade if the Iranians go through with that.
Michelle Bachmann says another key member of her campaign is out. The Republican presidential candidate tells CNN's Wolf Blitzer that political director Wes Enos has quit. This follows the departure of Bachmann's Iowa campaign chairman Kent Sorensen yesterday, who left to join the Ron Paul campaign. Some Verizon customers will soon be in line for a new $2 fee. The wireless company says it's for those making a one-time payment online or by phone with a debit or credit card. This is CNN Radio.
Motorcyclists often seem rather intimidating. Rough and tumble. Real bad mamma jammers. Little do folks know, they can actually be quite sensible. Especially if they insure their motorcycle with GEICO along with their car. GEICO's multi-policy discount could save them quite a bit of money. Did I just say bad mamma jammers? Do you ever say something and think, I wish I'd never said that? This is one of them times.
Call GEICO or visit GEICO.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
Now at the Winter Storage event, the Home Depot's made a special buy on 20-gallon storage totes for just $5.88 each. These colorful totes are durable, stackable, and they hold a lot of stuff. All of which means that New Year's Get Organized resolution you made is pretty much in the bag. Or the tote. Make room for savings right now with colorful 20-gallon storage totes for just $5.88 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Motorcyclists often seem rather intimidating. Rough and tumble. Real bad mamma jammers. Little do folks know, they can actually be quite sensible. Especially if they insure their motorcycle with GEICO along with their car. GEICO's multi-policy discount could save them quite a bit of money. Did I just say bad mamma jammers? Do you ever say something and think, I wish I'd never said that? This is one of them times.
Call GEICO or visit GEICO.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
Now at the Winter Storage event, the Home Depot's made a special buy on 20-gallon storage totes for just $5.88 each. These colorful totes are durable, stackable, and they hold a lot of stuff. All of which means that New Year's Get Organized resolution you made is pretty much in the bag. Or the tote. Make room for savings right now with colorful 20-gallon storage totes for just $5.88 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Hey Tucson, check out downtown Tucson's newest hotspot, Hub. Lively, fun, and delicious Hub offers genuine made-here fare in an updated historic setting. Real rotisserie meats and classic deli sandwiches, flaky pot pies, burgers and dogs, Hub has something for everyone. Hub's homemade ice cream is a new citywide favorite with eclectic flavors to sit and enjoy or grab and go. Hub's happy hour is every day from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And if nightlife is what you crave, Hub is open till 2 a.m. every day, offering cocktails, beer, and wines on draft, and a late-night menu in the Hub Lounge. Located in the heart of downtown on Congress Street, Hub has its own parking lot for free and easy parking at any time of the day. Call 207-8201 or stop by Hub at 266 East Congress Street 7 days a week. Visit hubdowntown.com. Daytime family fun, nighttime urban vibe. Hub has it all. hubdowntown.com.
Well, here we are on a very busy Saturday night. It's about 10 o'clock at night, and we're here at Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails at 135 South 6th Avenue, just a block south of Broadway, and we ran into my good friend, Chef Janos Wilder, who's agreed to spend a couple minutes with us. What's going on, Chef?
Matt, thanks for coming into Downtown After Dark. We do this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights, live music, half-price bar menu. It's the place to be.
Really is the place to be, and it's so busy around here. Everyone's having such a great time.
It's going on here during the afternoon, too. We do a traditional happy hour from 4 to 6 p.m. every day. Half-price bar menu, drink specials, and then lunch, dinner, stay for late night. It's happening all the time here.
All with that unique Janos twist, whether it's the great food or the wonderful things happening behind the bar. We just can't get enough of downtown.
Thanks, Matt. So give us a call, 623-7700, or go to the website, downtownkitchen.com.
That sounds great. I think I'll go get a drink. Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
Spend an evening with us at 47 Scott and Scott & Co., located downtown, Tucson's emerging culinary capital. 47 Scott, serving modern comfort food for both lunch and dinner in a neighborhood bistro setting. A rotating selection of affordable wines and handcrafted cocktails complement our freshly prepared seasonal menu. Sit under the stars on our cozy brick patio or inside in a comfortable urban setting where we focus on excellent service and hospitality. Enjoy a drink before or after your meal at Scott & Co., our small cocktail lounge located directly next door to 47 Scott. With a nod to the cocktail scene of years past, Scott & Co. features seasonal drink creations unlike any other place in Tucson. 47 Scott, located downtown at 47 North Scott Avenue, across the street from the Pennington Parking Garage. Open for lunch Monday through Friday and dinner Monday through Saturday. Online at 47scott.com. For reservations, call 624-4747. That's 624-4747.
Over 2,000 fine wines to complement your meal. Experience the very best. You deserve it. This is Bob McMahon. Join me at my place, McMahon's Prime Steakhouse, Swan and Fort Lowell.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell on AM 1330, The Jolt. Beautiful.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to On the Menu Live. I'm Jim Cedar from the Wine Enquirer. You can hit our site at wineenquirer.com and learn everything that you need to know about wine, food, pairing, and so forth. Wherever you are, thank you for taking some time out of your day to join us for this last half of the show. And we're going to jump from savory chocolate to savory cheeses with Gina Fries from Vinissimo, a cheese shop in the San Diego area. You can go onto her site with vinissimo.com and just learn about everything in the world you need to know about cheese. And Gina, welcome.
Thank you, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you so much for taking time out of what I'm sure is a really busy schedule as we get into the holiday season here.
Yeah, super fun, but super good.
I'll bet it. Well, I have four of your cheeses sliced off in some samples here in front of me, and I just came to realize that I didn't know what I was doing for dinner tonight, so I turned to our engineer, Sydney, and said, I just figured it out. It's going to be cheese followed by chocolate.
I love it. Yeah. It's a perfect meal.
Yeah, really. And I'm sure I can find a bottle of wine to pair with everything here. So
I should hope so.
Meanwhile, let me get into you and your shops. I'll ask you the same question that I actually asked the people from Lake Champlain Chocolate, and that is, were you a cheese lover from early on in life, or did you kind of back into this and find yourself surprised?
Oh, cheese lover early on. If you could ask my mom, if there was a choice in the refrigerator and freezer, a tub of ice cream or a block of cheese, the cheese was always mine. I went straight for it.
And so tell me, did the kids make fun of you? You didn't want to go for ice cream?
I know, don't make fun of me, but I don't care. I still love it.
I can just see you going up to the chocolate, going up to the ice cream shop and saying, do you have some cheese? I don't want any ice cream.
Exactly. What kid does that? I don't know, but it was me.
When did your first shop open?
The first shop opened on January 17th, 2004.
Okay, so you've been in operation now for almost 8 years?
Yes.
7 to 8 years. Wow. Okay. And from there, you've expanded into, you now have four outlets, correct? Or three additional outlets to the main store?
Yes, we sure do. All equally as fun and full pieces.
Well, I should let people know as well that we did a video series with Gina in San Diego in August. We've shown a couple of the series so far. We still have a couple to go. Just an absolute wonderful store. The aromas in there are fabulous, and I've truly never seen such an array of international and national cheeses in my life. Clearly you're in this with your heart and soul.
Thanks, Jim. I'm glad you find the aroma good. Somebody actually tell us we needed to burn incense once. So I'm glad that I didn't take their advice.
Why don't we talk for a couple of minutes here about how people distinguish different classes of cheese? Because it can be a little daunting, a little confusing where they go with this.
Sure. Yeah, it's definitely like wine to me. You know, takes a long time to learn. But one of the ways, obviously, is textures people will go with. Something very soft and spreadable versus something very hard and almost crumbly. Definitely do it by textures. Another way that they're classified is by milks, that the milks that they're, be it goat, cow, sheep, buffalo, even.
Okay. Give me an example of a few cheeses with that, but say a goat, sheep, and buffalo.
Sure. Let's see. Goat, everyone understands mostly and is most common with is the chèvre. If you go to the grocery store, anywhere you go and you see those fluffy little white tubes of cheese. That's goat cheese. It's called chèvre.
Okay.
French word for goat. That's something that most people are familiar with on the goat side. On the main cheese side, it's a Humboldt Fog. It's the most popular cheese, one of them, in the United States, and it's made of goat milk. So I would say those are two examples of goat. Most famous sheep milk cheeses by far are pecorinos. Everybody knows Italian pecorino cheese, and that simply means it's made of sheep milk.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and then cow milk, I mean, that's the most abundant. You're going to find cow milk cheeses everywhere. And the most famous cheddars mostly are made of cow milk. They can be made of others, but cheddars and goudas are the most famous in the cow milk variety.
Now, are cow milk-based cheese the most popular or the most frequently produced cheese?
Most frequently produced, and here's why. You can picture this. Line up 10 gallons of milk in front of you right now. Just picture that. It takes about 10 gallons of milk to make 1 pound of cheese. So you need a lot of milk, and the cow is the animal that gives the most milk, and there are the most cows around, so it makes sense.
Okay.
There are more cow milk cheeses, so they're the ones going to be eaten the most.
Now, a number of cheeses have rinds of different texture and different consistency. Talk to me for a minute or two about rinds that are edible versus ones that are not.
Yeah, you know, really, Jim, the only ones that are not edible are the waxed rinds, like you'll find on most goudas.
Oh, no wonder those get stuck in my teeth all the time. Now I get it.
Yeah, those aren't like those wax lips you used to use.
No, not at all.
The goudas, and then blue cheeses often come wrapped in foil. So, of course, you're not going to want to eat the foil. But when you get like a cave-aged Gruyere or something that has a rind that looks like a bit like the bark of a tree, completely edible. That's just natural, dried-up goodness. So, and then if you see a pinkish, a reddish rind, those are typically washed rinds. Those are your stinky cheeses. Again, completely edible. And then the next one question we get is, can you eat the rind on a brie? And the answer is yes. Fluffy, bloomy rind, yeah, is meant to be eaten. Completely natural part of the cheese. A lot of people don't like it, and it's not a faux pas or anything if you don't like it, but definitely safe and meant to be eaten.
Well much of that, what's called stinky flavor, actually comes from the rind itself, doesn't it?
Absolutely, because the outside could be really pleasantly mild, but because they wash the outside, and when I say wash, it's typically with brine, which is salt water, although some people wash in beer, some in wine, and other kinds of, you know, yummy good things. But the washing creates moisture, moisture creates bacteria, and bacteria causes that stinky smell. But all in a good way.
Right. No, and it is. It's funny that I offered my wife some rind one of these stinky cheeses one day, and she found it very offensive, hard to get used to. I cut off the rind just for the fun of it, gave it to her, and it was actually a very soft, almost a very bland cheese. So that rind can really add a tremendous amount of character to those cheeses.
Oh, it sure can. That's why you really want to taste a little bit of the rind and what's inside, because it can be so completely different.
Sure, sure. How should people serve and store cheeses? Because I know, for one, when I first started accumulating cheeses in our refrigerator, I was not storing it appropriately, and it really did a number on the aromatics of the inside of the refrigerator, not to mention the cheese.
That'll do it. And there are some cheese, Jim, I got to tell you, that cannot be contained. No matter what you try, they will be aromatic. But for the most part, we use a special breathable wax paper. It's a French cheese wrap paper, because cheese wants to breathe a little bit, but of course it doesn't want to dry out. So if you don't have a source for such a cheese paper, I really love wax paper.
Okay.
Yeah, it gives it a little room to breathe in there, but of course it's just going to keep some of that moisture in. So that's what you're after. For the stinkies, really soft ones, really a nice little like Tupperware, something like that, that you can set it in, give it a little air around it, but then just snap it shut, is also a good alternative.
Right. I mean, clearly, if you don't contain some of these the right way, as I learned, it's cheese on the wild, and everybody run for your life.
Oh, yeah, completely. And if you put a little blue cheese next to anybody else, it's going to shatter the other cheeses with little blue.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Gina, before we get into the tasting here in a minute, just talk to me for a bit about the cheese classes, the cheese club you have, and you have a number of other items that I saw on your site at venissimo.com.
Oh, yeah, it's very, very exciting, Jim. So Cheese Lovers Club, it's our version of the Cheese of the Month Club.
Yep.
It's really a way that somebody that loves cheese, or just to learn about cheese, can experiment, because for $55 a month, it gets shipped, or you get 3 cheeses, so about a pound total, which is a good amount of cheese, plus something that goes well with it. They like almonds with a certain Gouda, something like that. So there's always some experiment in there. And when you get it in the mail, it has all the description about the cheese, what wine goes with it, what country it's from, what it's made of. So you really can learn a lot by joining the club. That's been a really, really big hit. For anyone in the San Diego area at our downtown shop, we offer cheese classes, and they're really intimate. We kind of limit it to about 12 to 16 people around a big table. You can learn everything from, you know, the basic getting to know cheese, you know, cheese 101. We take you tasting all the varieties to making cheese. We've got a mozzarella and ricotta making class that's super popular. And then we have just wild ones thrown in there. We'll have cheese pairings with scotch. We'll have cheese pairings with chocolate, which is fabulous, and things like that. So we call it our Academy of Cheese. It's just a fun place to learn everything that there is to know about cheese.
That sounds wonderful. Well, I'm going to start diving into some of the samples that you sent to us, and I'll give these to you one by one. And just talk to me for a minute about the consistency and what wine or perhaps even beer you would pair with it. I'm going to start with the Gouda that you sent to me. So why don't you give us about a 60-second dissertation on the Gouda.
On the Gouda. Gouda is really great. Now, most of us know the Gouda with the little red wax that you peel off, and it's really mild in flavor. What you've got in front of you is aged about 4 years, and the longer cheese like that's aged, the harder and more crumbly and crunchy it gets. So what you're going to do with Goudas, because they cook the milk when they make it and age it in the wax, you're going to get a butterscotch, a sweet caramel flavor. Getting some of that when you taste this? When you get a Gouda, you should get those caramel notes. So with something like that, these Goudas, you know, come from the Netherlands or from Holland. With something like that, we love to do a Riesling. It goes very, very well if you're a fan of the white. And actually, an aged Gouda like this, 4 years plus, stands up really well to a Cabernet Sauvignon.
Okay.
So, not many cheeses do, but this one does.
Sounds great. The next one on the list here, and correct me if with the pronunciation, but it's an Osso Irati?
Yes, you did very well.
And that's from Italy. And that's from Italy.
That one's actually from France.
Oh, it's France. I'm sorry. You're right. You're right. My mistake.
No problem at all. The Pyrenees, so that's that region that separates France from Spain. Lots of sheep there. Again, you need a lot of milk, so it's a great place to get super sheep milk cheese. So this one is actually made of raw milk. It's really smooth and creamy. Where I was talking earlier, the sheep milk cheeses we're most familiar with, Pecorinos, are hard, salty, and come from Italy. This is actually soft, smooth, and silky, and comes from France.
This is just absolutely lusciously beautiful.
Isn't it gorgeous?
Oh, my goodness.
Example of a rind that's edible. It looks crunchy and crusty, but it's completely edible. I like it. It gives a little texture to it.
And what would you like to pair with it, Gina?
You know, that's where you go. Something's from that region. Oh, it's really good. So if you go with a Rioja, something from around there,
okay.
It's very, very nice. A Puy Fumé, really lovely too. So those are kind of my favorite with Osirati.
Okay. The next on your hit parade is the Latour. And that is just almost a melt in your fingers, let alone melt in your mouth.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? What we've done, you know, we had our sheep and we've had our cow with the first two that you had. I also like to try in something very soft, throw in a tasting soft, and something from a goat. So this is a goat milk. It's predominantly goat from Italy. This, we call it the ice cream of cheeses because, like you said, almost will run through your fingers. It's just a creamy, soft, ripened cheese, not quite as thick of a rind as a brie, but definitely ripened to a full flavor.
And what do you like to pair with this one, Gina?
This one, for sure, honey. That's one of my favorite things. This cheese with honey, classic. And then something like a Moscato or a Prosecco, beautiful.
Oh, my God. This is like, you know, whipped cream and cream, and it's just it just keeps on going and going. It's wonderful.
Yes.
And the last one that I saved here purposely, because it's a blue cheese, and I didn't want it to interfere with the palate with the other cheeses, and that's the Caveman.
Isn't that a great name?
It is a wonderful name.
Great name. This is from Rogue Creamery in Oregon, and I've got to say I got to visit them, too. The American speakers have come a long way, and Rogue Creamery has actually been in business for many, many years. They've got some history behind them, and they're making great cheeses, including this one-year-aged Caveman cheese, which is in a cave, hence the name. And it is a blue cheese. It has a fudgy characteristic, I would say, to it. It really will coat your tongue.
Yeah, it is. It's not crumbly. It's beautiful, creamy. Nope. And what would you like to pair with this Caveman?
Ooh, for Caveman, I need something cold. I love Zinfandel with this one.
Okay.
And then beer fans, go with a stout. That's perfect.
Oh, well, you know something? These are just a phenomenal, just a brief, small sample of all of your cheeses. I've sampled a number of others. They're all equally fabulous. Thank you for joining us today. This is Gina Fries from Venissimo Cheese in San Diego. You can access her site by going on to venissimo.com. All the cheeses you want. And Gina, I take it you can send cheeses out to anybody anywhere.
We sure can.
Okay,
yep,
that's great.
Give us a call. Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us. Have a happy, a healthy, and a safe end of this year and a great entry into 2012. And we look forward to enjoying your cheeses going forward.
Likewise. And hey, cheers to cheese, right?
You bet. You stay well.
All right. You too.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
All right. We are now going to start the segment of not just one question on our quiz today, but we actually have two, one from each guest. So this should be a lot of fun and offer people an opportunity to taste and test some of these incredible products, both from Lake Champlain Chocolates and from Venissimo Cheese. So here's the first question for you from Lake Champlain Chocolate. And it goes, how is milk chocolate different from dark chocolate? Again, how is milk chocolate different from dark chocolate? And the call-in number here is 529-3508. That's 529-3508. And the second question is, what type of milk do you find in pecorino cheeses? What do you find in pecorino cheeses? We're waiting for you. Let's not have the same person answer both questions. But again, the second question here is what type of animal milk is in pecorino? Waiting to hear from you.
Has this ever happened to you? Let's say you're out for happy hour on a Friday night, and after a few cocktails, you and your friends decide to stay for dinner, which includes a couple glasses of wine. And when it's time to go home, you ask yourself, am I really able to drive, or shall I just call a taxi? Well, Arizona's DUI laws are very strict, so driving yourself is just plain stupid. On the other hand, calling a taxi means that you have to find a way back to your car the next day. And we all know how inconvenient that is. The next time you're in this situation, leave the driving to the Entourage Transportation Group. A phone call to Entourage quickly dispatches an electric scooter to your location, and a fully licensed and insured driver neatly folds the scooter up, places it in your trunk, and drives you home in your own car. When you arrive home, the driver simply unpacks the scooter and drives off to the next call. Both you and your car are home safe. Take this number down and keep it handy whenever you go out for drinks and dinner. You'll be glad you did. 909-0100. That's 909-0100. Or check them out online at entouragetucson.com.
Where's everyone meeting for the hottest dining, shopping, and nightlife in town? Main Gate Square, of course. Just west of the University of Arizona Main Gate on University Boulevard. A casual walk around the two-block square will take you to more than 50 of Tucson's most exciting restaurants, cafes, retailers, boutiques, and salons. Experience the best of international cuisine, including French, Thai, Greek, Indian, Irish, and a host of other restaurants representing virtually every corner of the globe. And when the sun goes down, Main Gate Square is the place to be for live music, dancing, wine and beer tastings, art exhibits, and other special events. And did I mention the shopping? Come see what all the buzz is about on University Boulevard between Park and Euclid. Visit www.maingatesquare.com to find out what awaits you today. By day or by night, there's always something here for everyone at Main Gate Square.
Okay, we're waiting for callers at 529-3508. We have two questions to answer and two gifts here for the winner. The first one is what animal milk do you find in pecorino cheese, if I can get my mouth to work correctly? And the second from Lake Champlain Chocolate is, how is milk chocolate different from dark chocolate? You're going to receive an assortment of goods from both Lake Champlain Chocolate with a box of chocolates and some cheeses from Venissimo Cheese. So some great things to offer you. So let's hear you now, 529-3508.
We have Antonio.
Okay, we have Antonio on the line. Antonio, welcome.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well listening to your show.
Phil, thank you so much for joining us and taking time out today.
Okay. I got the answer, I think, for the cheeses. It's goat cheese.
No, it's not goat cheese. But
well, no, I mean the animal's goat.
No, it's not goat. But believe it or not, so we'll kind of have to go to the next caller here and see do we have somebody on the line?
We have Sarah.
Okay, Sarah, how are you this afternoon?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for joining us and taking some time out of, I'm sure, what's a busy day for you. Which question are you answering?
I'm answering what does sheep milk make?
Okay, what animal milk do you find in pecorino cheese?
And that is sheep's milk.
Oh, you've got it. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. We're going to take your information from you, and you'll be receiving a gift card from Venissimo Cheese and give you an opportunity to sample some of her unbelievable cheeses. And I can tell you from hard cheeses or aged cheeses, soft, blue, her inventory is endless, and the tastes are just astoundingly beautiful. So thank you so much for joining us, and we'll pass your information on shortly.
Thank you.
And we have Ken.
Ken, welcome to On the Menu Live. You're going to be answering the chocolate question?
Excuse me. I'm not going to answer the question, but I just wanted to thank you for your show.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the input and always appreciate a stroke across the back. Hope you have a very healthy, happy, and make it a safe new year for yourself.
You're the same. I have to get by a phone during the 5 o'clock hour.
Okay.
And
all right.
Well, really thank you, guys.
Well, thanks again for the kudos, and I hope 2012 starts out wonderful for you.
And you all have a great new year.
We will as well. Sydney, do we have anybody else at this point?
No, but can Sarah take a guess on the chocolate one?
What's that? Go ahead.
Would Sarah like to take a guess on the chocolate one?
Do we still have her here?
We do.
Hey, Sarah, you're still here? Sarah, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, there's nothing like pairing cheeses and chocolate, and you can throw some wine in there as well if you would like for New Year's. So why don't you take a shot for a 30-piece chocolate selection from Lake Champlain Chocolates. What is the difference between milk chocolate and dark chocolate?
I believe, but I'm not completely sure, that dark chocolate doesn't have any milk in it, and it's more pure.
You've got it. You know something? That's exactly it. There is no milk in it, and also the cacao content and the sugar content is different as well. So what a prize that you walk away with both cheese and chocolate, and what a great way to celebrate the end of 2011 and the beginning of 2012. Make sure you grab yourself some sparkling wine or some champagne for yourself to enjoy this, and we'll get the information from you, pass it on to both Gina Fries from Venissimo as well as Allison Myers at Lake Champlain Chocolates, and we'll have them get those goods out to you, and enjoy, and thank you so much for participating, and thanks for listening today.
Thank you, and have a great new year.
We will. You as well, and make it a safe one.
Thank you.
All right. Well, you know what? We're coming down to the end of the show. We're only a couple of days away from the end of 2011, which is really hard to believe. I'm going to be celebrating with some family and some delicious food and some sparkling wine and some champagne. I would encourage you, wherever you are, whatever you're doing on New Year's Eve, keep yourself safe. If you need somebody to drive you, call a cab, call a driver, call a limousine service, but ultimately, you know, make sure that you keep yourself safe. There are going to be a lot of crazy people driving on the roads, and we want to make sure that we see you back around here in 2012. Meanwhile, in a little shameless plug for myself in this last minute or so of time, we'd like you to go to thewineenquirer.com. We have a great archive of both written articles, videos, a number of different items and quizzes that you can look at there, some fabulous wine education and wine and food pairing suggestions and charts. So it's something that we look forward to expanding, to growing next year. We hope that we can have you on board. Sydney, let me ask you in these last waning moments here.
Okay.
What are you up to New Year's Eve and New Year's Day?
I don't know. I'm still pretty new in Tucson, so I think I might go back to Denver for the weekend, or I'm just going to stay here and figure out something to do. I'm not sure. I'm sorry. I'm kind of boring with that.
No, not at all. Not at all. I just think the important thing is to be with people that you care about.
That's my plan.
You know, and to keep yourself very safe. For everybody, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Be safe on New Year's Eve. We want to see you here in 2012. And cheers.
Got something on your mind?
The time has come for all of us to speak out.
Call in and let us know.
Now start talking.
Talk about how you feel.
KJLL, South Tucson.